One evening during a violent thunderstorm, a mother was tucking her small son into bed, and she was about to turn out the light. And when he came into the bedroom, and he asked in a voice that was somewhat timorous, and he says, "Mommy, will you sleep with me tonight?" And after the mother gave him a reassuring hug, she says, "No." She said, "I have to sleep with Daddy tonight." And the long silence was broken, and the little boy said, "The big sissy." You know, sometimes in life, we all face those thunderstorms. And I'm thrilled tonight that it's getting ready to rain outside. I had no idea that it was going to do this tonight in the preparation of the lesson. But I'm glad that it's going to. We need the rain. But I know sometimes in life when we face those thunderstorms spiritually, it's extremely difficult for us to deal with life. And how do we deal with life? You know, sometimes we all run from life, and we are often afraid, and we fail to really exercise our faith in God. We talk about how faithful we are and how much faith we have in God. But seemingly, when little things come and those little nuisances in life trouble us, then we are shaken in our faith. There was a strong young man one time at a construction site, and he was bragging about the fact that he could outdo anyone in the feat of strength, that he was real strong, you know, and you've seen people like that. Well, anyway, he made a special case of making fun of Morris, one of the older working men there at the job site. Well, after several minutes, Morris had had enough. And he said, "Why don't you put your money where your mouth is? I'll bet you a week's wages," he said, "that I can haul something in a wheelbarrow over that outbuilding that you won't be able to wheel back." And the young guy says, "Well, I'll tell you what, Morris, your own. It's a bet. Let's see what you got." Morris reached out and grabbed the wheelbarrow by the handles, and nodding to the young man, he said, "All right, get in." Now, if you didn't get that, you can get the CD. But I know that a lot of times in our life, now we are often shaken in our faith. I want to talk to you tonight about a passage found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. It's one that you've read many, many times, and certainly one that is no stranger to you if you are a Christian or if you've been reading the Bible at any length of time. It is one of my favorite passages of Scripture because it speaks to me. It addresses, I think, the life of every Christian. It was Isaiah who said, "But they that wait upon the Lord," he said, "shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and faint not." And I want to talk to you tonight about how to overcome the world and the problems that are in the world. And we face them every day. We have strong emotions sometimes about what is going on in life. In John, the 16th chapter, in verse 33, I actually mentioned part of that this morning in the lesson where I talked about the peace of God. But the latter part of that verse says that in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. And you and I, because Christ was an overcomer, you and I can be overcomers as well. In the book of 1 John 4 and verse 4, John would record these words of inspiration. He said, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Well, now there are three things that I want to really focus on tonight, three things that I really believe that we ought to do with relationship to our faith and relationship to the troubles that come our way. I would tell you, based upon Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, the first thing that we ought to do is wait upon the Lord. You know, sometimes we get so troubled in life about a lot of things, and we are just so anxious to get it resolved. We want it done right now, and we're not waiting on God. Now, there are two ways you look at that. In the Hebrew language, we wait upon God in the sense that we are continuing to serve Him. It's kind of like the waiter down at the restaurant. They wait upon you. God says that we are to wait upon Him. Now, I believe that we ought to keep serving God in the midst of the trials that we face in life, whatever they happen to be. You just keep serving God. You just keep honoring Him with your life. You may be going through some kind of complex problem tonight in your life as an individual. It may only be known to you. But I am assured by the reading of the Word of God that God says, hey, don't just sit down and do nothing. Stay busy. Just keep serving God and waiting upon Him. Now, there's another dimension of that. And that is that we are to wait upon Him in the sense that we wait for God's answer. Keep serving, keep waiting on Him, keep honoring Him, but at the same time, just keep waiting for God to give you an answer to the complexity of life. He says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, He says. And I'm convinced that many of us grow weak in our relationship with each other and our Listen, we get upset with people sometimes. We lose patience with them. And sometimes it's difficult for us to just keep on going on. But we have to do that. We have to be patient. We have to wait upon the Lord because it is the only way that you and I are going to renew our strength as God's people. Now, I know a lot of times in life, every one of us face temptations and we face trials. And sometimes people don't know what to do. I heard about a man who one day was extremely successful. And anyway, a friend of his was talking to him and he says, well, how's everything going with you? And he said, well, he said, one day I opened my Bible at random. And a lot of times we do that, you know, to peruse through the scripture. And he said, I opened my Bible at random. And he said, my finger landed on the word oil. I was reading about the Good Samaritan, just kind of landed on the word oil, how he poured in oil and wine, and I hit oil. And he said, I thought it was a message from God. And he said, I went out and invested in oil. And he said, believe it or not, he said, man, I made all kind of money. He said, you would not believe. And he said, then the other day, he said, I dropped my finger on the word gold in the Bible, where the Bible talks about the streets of gold. And it just kind of landed on the word gold. And I thought, hey, this is God's message to me. I'd been hearing this advertisement on television about investing in gold, you know, and getting all this gold. And he said, I thought, man, here again, God is speaking to me. Well, his friend was so impressed that he rushed home. He grabbed his Bible. He flipped it open and dropped his finger on a particular page. He opened his eyes and the finger rested on the words chapter 11. Well, so, you know, you can't always trust that. It doesn't always work. It's kind of like a young boy one time, several years ago, you know, he was out in the field and he was working with his father. And he decided that he had received a message from God to go and preach the gospel. And so anyway, he just laid everything down. He rushed home and he put on his suit and he got a Bible. And the father saw what was going on, so he rushed in after him. He says, what in the world are you doing, son? He said, well, God has called me to preach. And he says, well, how do you know that? He said, well, he said, I was just looking up in the clouds a moment ago. And there was this cloud formation up there that said PC. And he said, I just knew it meant to go and preach Christ. He says, son, go get your overalls on. That means to plow corn and pick cotton. Well, so, you know, God doesn't speak to us in that way. He doesn't. But He does tell us that we are to mount up with wings as eagles and that we are to wait upon the Lord. Sometimes, you know, that's hard to do. One can surely see the evidence and the importance of that, however, in the book of John, the 5th chapter and verse 1. There's a story that takes place here, and it's told by Jesus. And the Bible says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, as he often did. Now there is at Jerusalem, the scripture says, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda. And this particular pool had five porches around it. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, and withered, And they were just waiting for the moving of the water. For some reason, every year there would be the moving of the water. Some angelic force would come. And it's not something that we can really hone in on and say this is exactly what happens, or God gives us great detail about it. But the Bible does say that. And it says, "For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, and whosoever," now listen to this, "whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had." It didn't make any difference what it was. Whether you had heart disease, whether you had palsy, or whether you had back problems, whatever it was, you were healed of that particular malady. And on this occasion, there was a certain man who was there which had an infirmity of 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie there, he knew that he had been there for a long, long time in that case. And he said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And the impotent man answered him and said, "Sir, I have no man that when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Does that sound like our society today? I mean, you know, you're trying to get in line at Walmart and you step over here and somebody else is in line before you get there. Well, anyway, that's what was going on with this man. I mean, you know, he had nobody to help him get into the pool. There was little chance of this man ever recovering from his illness, whatever it was. And so anyway, Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Those must have been sweet words to the ears of this man who had this particular illness for 38 years. Just think about it. He'd been in this situation almost 40 years. Nobody really cared anything about him. Maybe they had compassion enough to get him down to the pool, but they weren't going to wait there for the troubling of the water. They had other fish to fry and other things to take care of. Now Jesus says to this man, I know you've been here and you have no one to let you down in the water, but I'm going to do something that's far better than that. He says, "I'm going to tell you right now to take up your bed and you walk." Now, maybe in the mind of that man, he was thinking, "Hey, I wonder what's going to happen if I try to get up." Well, the Bible says the man immediately was made whole, and he took up his bed and he walked, and the same day it was on the Sabbath. Now, if you could only imagine the painful experience of this man. I don't know how old he was, but he'd been in this condition for 38 years, obviously couldn't help himself. And imagine the painful, desperate, sickly crowd longing for healing. There were probably hundreds and hundreds of people who would gather there, hoping to be able to be the first one in the water. And they're staring breathlessly down into that pool of Bethesda, and they're scanning that smooth surface of the water, waiting for it. They're straining, they're focusing at it, waiting for the angelic disturbance, for whenever it might come. It gives us the idea that they had an undistracted focus on God. You know, I believe today that's a great lesson for us. Whatever is going on around us, you just keep your eye on the water. I'm sure that everybody that was standing there was watching that water. They were just waiting, you know. It's kind of like people that go fishing. And, you know, they're watching that cork, you know, or whatever, if you fish with a cork. Or if you fish with a lure, you're waiting for that strike. You're just waiting. And they were waiting for that angel to trouble the water. They didn't know when it was going to happen, but they kept their eye on the water. You know what? We have to keep our eye just as steadfastly on God. When problems are going on in life, you just stay focused on God. He will not let you down. There was total concentration here. There was undivided attention. There was a quiet, enduring patience of these people and of this man. So he says, "They that wait upon the Lord," and that's the number one thing we need to do. Just keep waiting on God. God's going to see you through. We just have to hold on. But then he says, secondly, that we need to get renewed. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." There are times when all of us need renewing. I think that's really the reason why God tells us to go to bed at night and go to sleep. Now, some people, if you're like me, I have trouble sleeping sometimes, and I sit up, but I know one thing, the next day I don't feel as good. But if I get a good night's rest, hey, I am ready to go bear hunting with a switch. I am ready to get after it, folks. I can do it. I'm telling you I can do it. And I wouldn't mind getting in the wheelbarrow. But I know one thing, that we all have to experience renewal. The Bible in the book of Romans chapter 12 talks about the renewing of our mind and the renewing of our faith. Listen to David in Psalms 51 in verse 10. He's praying for renewal. He says, "Create within me a clean heart, O God." One translation, if you're reading it, the King James says, "A new heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Now, David obviously knew that his spirit wasn't right, and so he's asking God to renew him within him that right spirit. Give me the right spirit, God. The word renew implies a restoration of what had been. The very thing that now was faded or disintegrated so that it would be like new. In other words, a new beginning. Do you know the Bible says of the blessings of God that they are new every morning? They are. Just think about that. In the morning, if you're privileged to see the dawn of a new day and you get out of the bed, just think about how blessed you are, because there are some people who will not be able to see the morning come. We've had people in this congregation whose fate was sealed in the nighttime, and they never ever were able to get out of bed and move about again, but they move freely in the spirit realm in the presence of God. He says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Renew their strength. We have to do it every day, don't we? You know, that's why we have worship. We come together to renew our strength. It's twofold. Worship is twofold. It's for the purpose of praising God and waiting on God collectively, but it is also for the purpose of renewing our relationship with God. Every time we come and we sing these great songs of faith, or when we pray, or when we observe the Lord's Supper, it is a time of renewal. And we get our batteries charged once again. And I think that's the reason God told the Jews to keep the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And that's why he has given us the Lord's Day. John said, "I was in spirit on the Lord's Day." It's a wonderful experience, and I don't understand why people do not enjoy being in the house of God on the Lord's Day. I don't understand why they don't come back on Sunday night. I don't understand why people don't come on Wednesday night. You know, it's a delight to me to be with brethren, because these are the people that I'm going to share eternity with. These are the people that I'm going to live with forever and ever and ever. And you know what? If I don't enjoy their company here, what are the chances of God allowing me to go and be with them when life is over here? You know, we renew our strength. We do. But then there's another thing, last of all, that we have to do. And that is, we have to get upward, not downward. You know, a lot of us, when problems come, we get downward. And you know, we talk about life, and life's a downer. We have to get upward. We just have to keep looking up, looking unto God, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And David in Psalms 121 said, "I'll lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. For my help cometh from the Lord, which made the heavens and the earth. For he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. For he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. For the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand." I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. There was a story told one time about a farmer who was walking through the forest one day, and he found a young eagle. And the farmer saved the eagle from the dangers of the wild forest, and he took it home and he put it in his chicken pen with the other chickens. And believe it or not, it soon learned to eat and behave just like chickens. One day, a forest ranger passed by the farm and asked why it was that the king of all birds was living in a chicken pen with chickens. And the farmer replied that since he had given it a home in the chicken lot and fed it chicken food, it acted like the chickens it lived with. It was no longer a great eagle of the wild outdoors, but a chicken in a tame chicken pen. Still, it had the heart of an eagle, the ranger said. And because it has that heart of the eagle, it can be taught to fly. So he took the eagle and lifted the eagle toward the sky and said, "You belong in the sky, not on the earth. Stretch forth your wings and fly." But the eagle, however, being somewhat confused, did not know who he was. And seeing the friends, that is his chicken friends, walking by and eating their food, he jumped down to be with them once again. But the ranger took the eagle one more time from the chicken pen to the roof of the house and urged him. And again saying to him, "You are an eagle, stretch forth your wings and begin to fly." But the eagle was afraid of his unknown self and this new world. And he jumped down once more and flapped his eagle wings just enough to get back into the chicken pen with the chicken food. Finally, the ranger took the eagle to a high mountain. There he held that king of birds high above him and encouraged him once again, saying, "You are an eagle. You belong to the sky. Stretch forth your wings and fly." The eagle looked around, back toward the way that they had come from the chicken pen, and then up to the sky. Then the ranger saw another giant eagle soaring on the current of the wind coming toward them. And as the giant eagle passed by the chicken lot, the eagle slowly stretched his wings and with a triumphant cry soared away into the heavens. Now to me, when I read Isaiah chapter 40, I know that God says that you and I have spiritual wings. We were not birthed for this earth. We're not. We're birthed for heaven. We're only here in preparation to set sail. You know, we sing that old song, don't we? "Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away." And you know what? That's true. We'll sail into the heavens, and the same angels that came and troubled the waters of that pool at Bethesda and gave healing to those who would get in it first. The Bible says that those of us who are Christians, when we die, we're born on the wings of angels into the presence of a loving God. Luke chapter 16. I wonder tonight, are we ready to set sail? Maybe you need to renew your strength tonight. Maybe you're living with the chickens or the turkeys of the world instead of lifting your wings and your eyes toward heaven. Now, those of us who are Christians who often allow our faith to grow weak need to again perhaps start waiting on the Lord, waiting for God to give us an answer to whatever our problem may be, but yet at the same time, keep serving Him and serving Him faithfully. Don't give up. That's the worst thing in the world you can do. I'm thankful that in that story about the eagle, that the ranger took him one more time to the high mountain. You know, sometimes it's through adversity. And that's exactly what happened in this story, wasn't it? They take you to the high mountain and you learn to fly. I'm told that even when eagles reach a certain age, like most birds, that the mother will actually kick them out of the nest and they learn to fly. Sometimes God sends adversity our way, I think, and He allows it to help us to learn how to sail spiritually. If you're in need tonight of the spiritual strength that can come from God, I hope that you'll come to the Lord and ask for the renewal and the restoration to the place of prominence that God wants you to be. And if you're not a Christian tonight, that you'd come out of love for the Father and out of certainly a bright future for yourself and acknowledge Christ as Lord and Savior through a penitent heart and be baptized for the remission of sins. Sam has selected the song that we're going to be singing tonight as the song of exhortation. And if you're here and you need to respond tonight or do you desire to do so, then we would admonish you to do that now as we lift our voices in song. Let's be standing.
I am resolved, no.